Hello there, friends and neighbors, and welcome to another exciting edition. We've run those guys out of here with their hammers and saws, and it's time for Blind Like Me, and this Blind Like Me is being recorded on the 20th of October? Yeah, 20th of October, 2003, in case you listened later and you wondered what was going on and what we were talking about, and what else do I need to tell you? Anyway, we'll be here for an hour, and this show is going to be our monthly thing that we do with Dale Campbell called Cooking in the Dark. And how are you, sir?
I am doing great, Phil. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm fine. The sun is out, and I just love beautiful days exactly like this. The air conditioner's off. The doors are open. It's weather feels good. I guess it's the same way down there.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely perfect down here. These are days that I used to have to worry about getting fired from work because I was definitely playing hooky and finding the golf course.
All right.
The car wreck, the blindness, and hey, here we are. We're cooking in the dark today.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
All right. Today we are going to do the crock pot meal. Basically, we're going to cook a nice big beef tip roast,
yeah.
New potatoes, carrots in the crock pot. And seeing how it's the 20th of October and how a get down ween is just around the corner, we're going to have pumpkins everywhere. So we're going to be doing some pumpkin seeds. We're also going to be doing a no-bake pumpkin pie. That's right, no bake. Mix it up, put it in the pie shell, and put it in the refrigerator, and it's done.
What a deal.
And then we're also going to be doing, to go with our roast and dinner, some pumpkin muffins. Now, all these recipes came in, except for the roast. The roast is my own personal recipe. Came in from our Cooking in the Dark list.
Which,
and since our last radio show, we had a little trouble with our listserv host,
yeah,
at Yahoo Groups, and we had to change the address, and we're now at Topeka as our host. So the Cooking in the Dark email list, if you're not a member, get on there. There's great tips, great recipes, and just wonderful people all the way from Australia, New Zealand, all the way over to England, Hawaii, Canada. We're getting recipes in from all over the place. So to subscribe to the list, it's cookinginthedark-subscribe. All that's lowercase and squished together, no spaces. Cooking in the Dark dash subscribe at Topeka, TOPICA.com. And then once you subscribe, you'll get a message back saying, you know, that you need to respond to. Do you want to really be a member? And of course you do. So just respond to that and you're on the list. And then get ready for all kinds of great information. So with that in detail, let's get to cooking. What we've got going on today is a crock pot. Now, my version, my crock pot is a 4-quart crock pot. Crock pots come anywhere from 1 quart to 6 quart.
Yeah.
And in doing a little research, we've kind of found some interesting information. And using a crock pot, you're not supposed to use a crock pot and fill it all the way full. A crock pot needs to be at least half full, but not over about 2/3 of the way full.
Well, I did not know that.
I did not either. Also, if you're going to be cooking chicken or some smaller, leaner cuts of meat in it, like pork chops, they suggest freezing them overnight and then putting them in the crock pot and cooking. And that way the meat will cook and be done at about the same time the vegetables are.
So freeze the meat. Freeze the meat?
If it's chicken or, say, a Cornish hen, poultry like that, they don't say freeze it hard. Just put it in and freeze it overnight. Another suggestion was to get your vegetables. Now, some crock pots have liners that are removable.
Yeah.
And others don't. But if you have one with a removable liner, you can prepare everything the night before, put it in the refrigerator. The next morning before you take off to work, pull the liner out, put it in the crock pot, put it on low, and step away from the crock pot.
Yeah.
It takes, on low, it takes about 8 to 9, 10 hours for the meal to be cooked, which will be perfect by the time you leave in the morning and come back in the evening. your meal is ready to go.
Yeah, when you get home, supper is ready, isn't it?
Supper is done. And no muss, no fuss. It's so easy to do.
Let's freeze in the meat thing. Let me just on that for a minute. They say freeze the meat and then put it in the crock pot frozen with the water in the everything.
Yeah,
else
with water or the broth or the vegetables or whatever you're going to be doing. And because the vegetables usually cook a little bit slower than like chickens or thinner cuts of pork, like pork chops or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was just one of the suggestions, one of the little tips that was in the reading that I found.
That's
which
very,
I really liked.
Very interesting. All right,
good
go ahead.
Idea. So what we've done, I've got my new potatoes. I've scrubbed them down, and I've cut these potatoes into quarters. I cut them in half across the potato, and I cut those halves in half again. Just cut them down again so they'll cook a little bit faster. I've also added roughly about 3 cups of baby carrots. Now, I've put these in the bottom of the crock pot. On top of that, now I've laid our roast. And the roast is about 2 pounds, 3 ounces. Now, one suggestion also in this guide is if your meat that you're cooking is over 2.5 pounds, to cut it in half. Cut it down, and
okay.
Again, it'll help it cook a little bit faster.
Okay.
So now, with our roast, I've got a can of beef broth soup, and that is like Sally sells seashells by the seashore to spit out for me.
And it's just beef broth.
Just beef broth. And it is, of course, Campbell's soup.
Yeah.
I wish I was getting a little money off of them for them using my name, but it's not going to happen.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Nah. Now, I've also adding a can of cream of mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm.
And these soups, I'm just dumping right in on top. This cream of mushroom is laying right on top of the meat. The broth, of course, kind of went down around the meat and sitting down in the bottom of the crock pot near the vegetables.
Veggies in the bottom, meat on top, and then pour the
this
broth
also
around.
We're going to add, I'm going to add just about another can of just water. Mm-hmm. And the can of water is in the soup can, just to bring the level up about 2/3 of the way up the pot. Turning the crock pot on.
Okay, now, I know everybody knows this, but let's just say it anyway. This is an electric appliance.
Yes.
This is not a sit-on-the-stove thing. This is electric. You plug it in, and most of them have a control that you can decide temperatures and, you know.
Yeah, and that's most of them have a low and a high. A high setting will usually cook the meal in about 5 hours. Give or take an hour either way. The low setting is usually around 8 hours, and again, give or take either way. But these crock pots are just wonderful. You can check out on the web, www.crockpot.com. There are hundreds of recipes on there. You can also order accessories, other crock pots, slow cookers. Some of the accessories for this, Phil, are even a liner that you can put in that you can bake a cake in it.
Really?
Or you can bake breads in it. And I was like, wow, check this out. You can bake breads in a crock pot.
You can fry potatoes in mine. I mean, it will get that hot.
Yes. One of the recipes that came through the list that we almost did was ham and scalloped potato little casserole recipe. It was just layering the ham and sliced potatoes and cheese, and that was it. Then you put the crock pot on low and put the lid on it and step away from the crock pot.
How much trimming did you do of this roast that you got? Did you trim the fat?
Absolutely none.
None.
I'm going to let it cook with the fat that was kind of around it.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't too much fat on it. It was trimmed down pretty nicely. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to let it cook with the fat just to help
flavor those vegetables.
Flavor in the juices.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one thing I've just added was a bag, you can call it, of Lipton onion soup mix.
Boy.
This is the, you buy it in the store, it comes in a box, it comes in a little package or a pouch, and the flavor I used was onion. Now, it's just a great little seasoning additive that a lot of people use for meatloaf. I use it in these roasts, and it just adds a lot of flavor to the meat.
In fact, anything you add it to is going to, unless you add it to Post Toasties or
right.
Cereal. Anything
it really
you,
enhances those nicely.
Anything you add it to is going to be better because you use it. I'm an onion man. I don't want to live in a house where there isn't half a dozen onions.
Right. Yeah, you're like me. We put onions in almost everything.
We do.
Be it if you, some people that aren't onion people, you can even take them and grate the onion up.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes they won't even know it's in there with it being grated.
That's what we're going to do with the mushrooms, so Lou Ann won't know they're there, see?
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be
all right, this is it. We're done. Dinner is served. Now you can just simply step away from the crock pot. I put the crock pot on high because it's about 1 o'clock here, and we will be eating dinner with this tonight. So I have to have it prepared by about 6:30. Mama comes home.
So you want it to do faster than normal.
Yeah, I'm going to let it cook a little bit faster. Normally, I would do this in the morning, put it on around 8 or 9 in the morning, and just let it cook on low all day. Now, this crock pot has got a keep warm setting on it as well. Some crock pots have a automatic setting. The automatic setting, it'll cook on low, and then it'll kick it up to high. So it'll make sure the meal is done for you or your food or whatever you're making in it, soup or oatmeal or whatever is done.
Well, what are you going to do for the rest of the hour if you got dinner ready here?
Well, I tell you what, seeing how it's pumpkin time, how about we do some pumpkin seeds real fast?
I would have no problem with that.
Now, what I've got just a jack-o'-lantern, cut the top out of it, and I've reached in and dug out. Woo! For anybody that hasn't done that, what an experience. That's a nasty little feeling, digging inside and cleaning out a pumpkin.
I haven't done it in a long time.
It'll make you kind of cringe there at first until you get used to all that stringy mess.
It won't hurt you, though. Your hands will wash.
Nothing in there at all. So what I did was I cleaned out, just basically reached in with my hand and cleaned out the stringy seeds that are inside the pumpkin.
You cut the top off so you can get your hand down in there.
Cut the top off and just reached in and just basically cleaned the inside of the pumpkin out like you would if you were going to make a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Put these in a colander, the seeds that is, and just simply washed them down, cleaned them up, picked out some of the stringiness, and got it down to where I just had pumpkin seeds. After that, I took them and put them on a paper towel and kind of dried them out, and then put them on a shallow, either a cookie sheet with some sides on it, y'all, or a shallow cake pan works the best. I laid foil first on the cake pan. Then I spread just a little bit of olive oil. Not much, just enough to get a little oil all over the foil.
Yeah.
Spread the seeds out, salted, peppered, add whatever seasonings you want. Pop them in a 350-degree oven for about 15 minutes. I took them out after the 15 minutes. Stirred them up, mixed them around a little bit, flipped and flopped them, put them back in for about another 15 minutes, and they're done.
Now, this is all the stringy stuff out of the pumpkin.
Yeah.
You...
Now, inside the stringy stuff is actually where the seeds are at. That's where the seeds grow at. And I cleaned all that off of the seeds so that the only thing that I put in the oven was strictly just the pumpkin seeds.
Was strictly the seeds. So you got rid of all the stringy stuff.
Got rid of all the stringy stuff.
Okay, and just put the pumpkin seeds. That was quite a little job, wasn't it?
It wasn't too bad. It was pretty easy, in fact. They cleaned out real easy, and once I started running it, you know, under the kind of a warm, hot water, they cleaned out pretty nice. They were kind of slimy. You know, you had to watch out, and when they got wet, they'd get kind of slippery. And
that's all right.
I'm sure I've got a few pumpkin seeds around here that Mama will have to find once she gets home. But that was it. Put them in the oven, boom, time warp, and there they are. They're all nice and done. And, in fact, I was munching on a few of them before you called.
I never thought of eating pumpkin seeds. Just crunchy little...
Well, they actually are similar to like a sunflower seed.
I'll be darned.
You break the shell open.
Yeah.
And inside is a nice, tasty little seed.
I'll be darned.
So by salting them, it kind of puts a little salt taste on them so you can, you know, suck the salt off like a sunflower seed. And then break inside. Now, some people will eat the seed, the husk, everything. Just chew them up and swallow them. You know, I prefer to kind of break them open and get the seed out, the kernel out, and spit the shell out.
All right, why don't we take our little first break and see what Don Patterson has to say and be back with more Cooking in the Dark and Dale Kimball in just a second.
You'll probably never need. Titillating tidbits to make you think on the blind side. Here's Don Patterson.
Well, we've lost Don. Where would Don go? Don, if you don't mind, we're ready.
I have the answer. Each year, the American Foundation for the Blind presents its AFB Livable Community Awards to honor the best places to live in the United States for people who are blind or visually impaired. The awards, which are a component of AFB's Livable Communities Project, recognizes cities and towns that have developed solutions for facilitating the participation of blind and visually impaired residents in community activities. This year's winner was Charlotte, North Carolina. Five other U.S. cities were also honored based on the accessibility they provide their residents. Coming in second behind Charlotte was Berkeley, California, followed by Kalamazoo, Michigan, and New York City. La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Louisville, Kentucky were also honored. AFB launched the Livable Communities Project to document environmental features such as the walkability of a city, availability of public transportation, cost of living, and availability of jobs at various skill levels that create or limit access for blind or visually impaired people. I think this is a worthwhile project. Personally, I am surprised New York City didn't finish any more than fourth, and I'm also surprised that Las Vegas, Nevada wasn't mentioned at all, because I find these two cities to be very accessible, and it seems to me that they offer a lot of opportunities. I'll see you down at the travel agency. On the Blind Side, I am Don Patton.
On the Blind Side, answering questions nobody asks.
Well, I didn't think we were going to have Don there, but sure enough, he showed up. Thank God for small favors. I don't know what I did wrong. Who knows? Anyway, we're cooking in the dark today with Dale Kimmel. Is this our third show? How many have we done? Three?
This is our fourth show, Don. Yeah, fourth show.
Sure is. All right. And we're doing...
The first one seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
I guess it does, doesn't it? I couldn't remember. So we're crock-potting today, for one thing. And what else? Go ahead.
Well, we've got... we're ready to make our... I think we'll go ahead and get our pumpkin pie made. And then after that, we will do the pumpkin muffins. This pumpkin pie, y'all, is so easy. It is nothing more than one package, an 8-ounce package of cream cheese, half a stick of butter, or 4 tablespoons of butter softened. You also want to add about 2 tablespoons of pumpkin pie spice and about a tablespoon of vanilla. Now, one thing we were all talking about on the cooking list was, you know, when we're doing liquid measurements, and you've just got a tablespoon or a teaspoon to
add. That's hard to do.
Man, it's so difficult to measure that.
It is.
So one of the great tips that came across the list was at the pharmacy or, you know, be it Walgreens or Eckerd's that we have here in Texas or even at the local grocery store, sometimes their pharmaceutical areas, you can go up to the pharmacist and request a syringe that is used for giving children medicine. And what I went up and requested it, and sure enough, they gave me, 3 of them that were tablespoon size. So I've had it marked. You know, when I pull the syringe out, I've got it notched so I know where a half a tablespoon is. I know where a whole tablespoon is. Of course, that's the whole one.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's so easy to use for this vanilla that I had to add. Instead of holding the jar over the sink and pouring into the tablespoon and measuring it and making, you know, listen to it spill when you know you had enough in it. Just did the old syringe trick. Whoop, pulled the stopper out, filled it up, squirted it right in the bowl, and that was it.
It's amazing. My favorite drink in the wintertime is hot chocolate with a little shot of brandy in it. There are days when I drink too many of those. And so I have a syringe, rather than trying to pour out of the brandy bottle and not knowing how much I get, that I stick down. I keep a little jar of brandy sitting on the, and I just stick my syringe down in there, fill it up, and squirt it down in the cup so I won't get too much or too little. I get the same amount every time. I didn't know anyone else had thought of that, but that's a wonderful idea.
Say, just a wonderful, wonderful tip. Wonderful
yeah, so just tip. Go to the pharmacy and tell him what you're trying to do, and they'll give you or sell you some syringes.
Yeah, yeah, and they just gave these to me. And, again, they're for kids. You know, as long as they don't have a needle or are available to have a needle, you can buy them without any problems or hassles. Or if you've got a cool pharmacist or friends or whatever, they'll probably just give them to you, which is wonderful. So what we've got in the mixing bowl, we've got the cream cheese in here. We've got the butter. We've got the pumpkin pie spice. We've got the vanilla. And I'm just going to mix these up real quick. You want to mix them up for about a minute and a half until it's nice and creamy.
All right.
And then after that, we're going to add a can of pumpkin. It's a 16-ounce can of pumpkin, and that's all we've got to add. 2 cups of pumpkin is what it is.
All right.
Now, if you want to use a real pumpkin to make a pumpkin pie or for any of these pumpkin recipes, take your jack-o'-lantern after you've cleaned out all the seeds and got those going in the oven. Cut the skin off, the outside skin of the pumpkin off, so you just have the pumpkin meat.
Uh-huh.
And then you want to boil this meat for about 30 minutes. After you boil the meat, it's ready for use. And you can just mash it up with like a potato masher or just, you know, using your mixer or anything like that. Just mix it all up and break it down, and it's ready for use.
But no, that's not what you have. You bought some pumpkin in a can.
Yeah, yeah. I got lazy and just bought some pumpkin.
Sure.
Okay, now I'm also adding 1.5 cups of Convectioner's sugar.
All right. Now, how does that come?
Convection sugar is basically, it's kind of like a powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real, real, real fine sugar. And that comes in a box. It comes in like, you know, similar to like what you would buy, brown sugar.
Yeah.
How do you
measure? I guess you can just open the sack
just,
or box.
Yeah, just
in.
Like you would flour. What I did was I opened the box up and actually dumped it into a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. Because the box was kind of small, I couldn't get my measuring cups down in it. And this way now, I mean, I've got it in the bag. I know what it is.
You can
without
stick
being able to read the doggone labels. I won't get it confused with any of the other boxes.
You
that
can
are in
stick
there.
The cup down in there and pull it and get out what you want.
Yeah, so yeah. Now when I need to store it, then I just take it and Ziploc it shut, fold it back up, and yeah. Actually stuff it back in the box.
Yeah.
So it's up and out of the way.
That's good.
Okay, I've just added the sugar and the pumpkin.
Now, this is a blender we're running here.
And I'm blending it up again, mixing it all up nice and neat here. And I'm definitely making sure that I don't pull the mixer out with it still on.
Because if you do...
We don't need that mess going everywhere.
If you do, you'll have things everywhere in the kitchen.
And you know, folks, we're almost done making our pie. You check the consistency here. Oh, yeah, nice and creamy.
You don't suppose people think we use sound effects on this show, do you?
No, there's no sound effects here. This is live, real action.
This is real fact, cooking, folks. You need to know
Kelsey's
that.
Kelsey's over here, my guide dog. Let me lick your fingers off there.
I imagine so.
Yeah, I started Kelsey on a diet of carrots as a snack instead of milk bones and anything else. The vet said he was getting a little fat.
Carrots? I had no idea that a dog...
carrots, man.
I didn't know
them.
Dogs would eat carrots.
Oh, Kelsey's like, woohoo, carrots. In fact,
really?
At the store last night, going through the store, we picked up some baby carrots, and he saw them and was like, yeah, all right, dog wants those.
I'll have to remember that for Frankie, because she's certainly getting... We were gone, you know, and those boys that babysat my house feed her pizza and bread and just all kinds... Just,
Annie,
you know,
right?
Oh, my God, she's huge.
They do put on the weight, that's for sure.
Yeah, but
Kelsey's, Frankie's like Kelsey. He's a that's a human vacuum cleaner almost.
Yeah, Frankie.
A canine
just,
vacuum cleaner.
Canine vacuum cleaner. Yeah.
Okay, I've got my graham cracker crust here, pie crust, and I didn't make it. I went the easy route and just bought it at the store.
Yeah.
And I've taken they come and they've got kind of a plastic cover on them, so you want to make sure you remove that, or you're going to have a pretty chewy pie. May not slice real well.
Yeah, they do look like a pie crust, but they've got a plastic thing on them.
Yeah, it comes in like a pie plate, and then the crust is in it, and it's got like a plastic save. And
yeah.
You know, sometimes, depending on the brand, too, you might want to check the bottom of the underneath the plastic, between the plastic and the crust and the shell there, and make sure there's no paper Sometimes they'll put a little advertising in there or something.
That would scare, be scary.
Okay, I put the dump everything in it, the pie filling, if you will.
Yeah.
And kind of just lightly tapping the pie pan on the counter to level it out. And here's the best part.
All right.
Just slide it in the refrigerator.
And
let time do its thing, and in about 6 hours, you'll come back and have a delicious pumpkin pie.
That's Candace amazing.
Candace got mad at me last time I made this.
Who did?
Candace.
Why?
Didn't eat it fast enough. It was tempting her. Kind of took her off her diet a little bit there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that's all right. It's all good. All right, that's it. Pumpkin pie is done. Crock pot, the roast is crocking. It's going real nice.
Yeah.
So, you want to take a break now, or do you want to go ahead and jump into these muffins?
No, let's go ahead and start, if you don't mind, and,
right.
We'll take a break in just a minute.
Okay. The muffins, there's a few ingredients. There's some dry ingredients and some wet ingredients.
All right.
So let me kind of run through the dry ingredients real fast. We're going to use 3.5 cups of flour.
Okay.
And it's all-purpose flour. 3 cups of sugar, just regular granulated sugar. It also calls for about 1 cup of raisins. Calls for 2 teaspoons of baking powder, or I'm sorry, baking soda. And, yeah, you might want to go with between a tablespoon and a half and 2 tablespoons. Kind of up to you. We also need a teaspoon of allspice and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. And about 1.5 teaspoons of salt. Now, for the wet ingredients, of course, it's going to be 1 can of pumpkin. Whoops, technical problem there. 2/3 of a cup of water. 1 cup of cooking oil. And 4 eggs. Now, again, if you'll go to our sponsor site, Blind Mice Mart, and click on the Cooking in the Dark link,
all right,
these recipes will be up there.
Okay.
And so nobody fret about having to write these down real quick or worrying about them. They'll be posted there where you can print them out.
I understand your list is growing just like crazy.
It is phenomenal. We were up to, we were hovering right around 80 to 90 members at Yahoo. And then when we moved, almost everybody moved with us. We lost a few people, and that could be expected. But now we're up to probably about 120 folks on the list right now.
How many posts do you think you get a day? Not too many? Or
the posts are running, I didn't check it at all over the weekend, and there was about 47 posts on there over the weekend.
Is that right?
But what's real nice, we were kind of getting out, you know, like most lists, every now and then you'll get a little out of hand. And some posts will start going up that don't have anything to do with the topic of the list. And, at one point we were getting about 200 posted. And some of it was nothing more than just folks, writing in and saying, oh, hey, great recipe. Thanks for posting that recipe. Or, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So we've kind of, everybody on the list is just doing great. They're so, I've told everybody on the list it's y'all's list. I mean, we got it started here off of this show. And, the people make the list up. And with them, everybody being responsible and not answering and just posting those little goofy responses like that, it's really nice.
Well, see, that's why we did the Blind Like Me list, so we can talk about off-topic. And they talk about all kind of things. So
And in fact, we posted – I worked with old Mr. Shaw on that, and we posted a listing there.
I saw that.
And I think some folks did hop over there. I saw some new members jumping over there as well. We try to keep a monitor on all those lists. Be it the handyman –
yeah, the handyman list just kicks along and does fine. You learn some good things off the handyman list.
The handyman list, yes. Yes. And if you have a question, just like the cooking list, just ask it. You're sure to get wonderful responses.
You get
just
experts.
Just like we did with the liquid thing. How do you measure these small little liquid amounts? Another tip that came in along the same lines was to refrigerate, like the cooking oils and things like that you have to measure. And that way you can actually feel, with your finger where the level is when you're filling in, putting it in a measuring cup.
Yeah, because it's a solid. It becomes,
It comes with it being a little, it chills it a little. But I think what it is actually what helps the most is the fact that it chills it.
Yeah. I do that with sausage. Like if I know I'm going to cook sausage in the morning when I get up, I may stick the roll of sausage in the freezer because it makes the patties easier to cut.
Makes it a lot easier to cut, doesn't it?
It doesn't get so liquidy. Now, what are you doing now? Go ahead.
Okay, what I'm doing right now, I've put the pumpkin and the oil and the water and the egg in a bowl. This recipe calls for you to blend the wet ingredients up first all together and then fold them in into the dry ingredients. I've got the dry ingredients also in another bowl that I've already mixed up.
Now, this is a hand mixer?
After we get this all mixed up in the batter, you simply just pour it into either a greased muffin tin or into, those little muffin papers, the little muffin cups.
Now, that was a hand mixer that you were using there.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing you used a while ago, or you had a blender going a while ago, didn't you?
No, same thing.
Oh, you used, okay.
Same
all
little
right
hand mixer. I did change blades on it, I guess, or mixers or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
I've got some that are real thin, little wires.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got some that are, the standard mixer, just a little heavier.
I noticed it sounded different.
Yeah, and it might have been the consistency of what we were mixing.
I'm sure.
Yeah, this is just a little cheapy guy that we picked up like at Walmart. We don't use it that often, but it's nice, it's nice to have.
Sure.
Okay, I've got the wet ingredients in, and let me wipe my hands off here. And we will be ready to mix these up and get them going. On the cooking list, we had some aprons printed up. And they're screen printed. The mouse on it, the logo says, you don't need sight to make dinner tonight.
Yep.
And we've got a little mouse on there for anybody that might remember. It looks like the mouse on Tom and Jerry. Little black mouse, though, not a brown mouse. Little belly on him because he eats well, He's a cooker. And he's got his dark sunglasses on, all ZZ Top, cheap sunglasses.
You can buy these.
He's got his chef hat on and a spatula in his hand. He's ready for business.
So you can buy these.
Not to mention he's got a tail that's been sewn back on, because he is one of the original blind mice where went out shopping one day and ended up at Hickory Farms, and the old farmer's wife wasn't real happy with him and whacked his tail off. So even got the stitches with his tail sewn back on. But a lot of people on the list have ordered theirs. In fact, I'm wearing mine right now as we're cooking. So hopefully I'm going to be getting these out this week, today being Monday the 20th. I'm hoping to get them out by Tuesday or Wednesday so that everybody can be wearing their aprons when they listen to the show next weekend. You can hear the mixer, huh, Phil?
Oh, man, I can
hear. Yeah, this consistency, this stuff's a little bit thicker than what we were mixing earlier, and it's kind of putting a strain on this little guy. I'd love to have one of those nice big tabletop or countertop KitchenAid guys.
They take up a lot of room, though.
Okay.
All right, now, wait a minute. Can you buy these aprons on your Cooking in the Dark website?
Yeah, they're up on the Blind Mice Mart website. They're listed there. If you put in the word blind, then you can that'll be the quickest way to find them, or apron in the search engine.
Okay.
Otherwise, they're in the kitchen accessories with some of the other blind gadgets and accessories that we have on there.
But
you can just email me at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com.
Okay.
And I can take the information that way and get you squared away, too.
All right.
Got a special introductory rate on them, and I can give everybody more information on that. If you're on the Cooking in the Dark list, you've got a little discount on them.
Uh-huh.
And for other members as well, since it's our first run on them, we're normally retailing for $21.99, but we're selling them for $18.40.
Okay.
So anybody can get one that way. If you're on the Cooking in the Dark list, just send a post to the list with the subject line aprons. And let me know that you're interested in getting one that way, and I can send you all the details on the special rate for being a list member as well.
Well, let's take that break now. How would that
all right
be?
And sounds good.
Do more of our Cooking in the Dark show with Dale Campbell in just a minute.
website, our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Site, here's Don Shaw.
Hi there. I want to review a site today for the movie fans out there. You folks that want to go and see a movie that may wonder, well, how easy is this movie to keep up with for a totally blind person or partial sighted person? Well, now there's a way to find out. You visit this site and it will give you some idea about how friendly the movie may be for following along with the movie, for how well it describes scenes in the movie, just in general how friendly the movie is for a visually impaired person. If you're a movie fan of currently running movies, or if you just want to go and read some movie reviews for a movie that maybe you're interested in renting for your VCR, go and take a look at them. I think they're a really fine site. I would give them a screen reader friendliness rating of a 10. You'll find it real accessible. Anyway, if you're thinking about seeing a movie later this weekend, go and take a look at them. Go to www.vasht.net. Hey, I'm fixing to go and find a movie to check out. Until next week, I'm Don Shaw. Keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
All right, back we are with Cooking in the Dark. Dale Campbell is cooking today. Dale?
We are cooking today. Pumpkins. I keep thinking in my head, you know, that Charlie Brown and Linus, the great pumpkin. And here we are, the great pumpkin.
That's
now,
right.
What I've done while we were gone there, Phil, while we were listening to Mr. Shaw tell us about that great movie site, I tell you, I'm going to have to check that out as well.
Really? That sounds nice, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Really cool. I'm just scooping out the batter that we've made. And putting it in these little muffin papers.
Okay.
In the old muffin tin. And these are going to bake at a 350-degree oven for about 35 minutes.
So
they're going to be delicious.
You're just doing this with a spoon? I mean, you're just...
Yeah, I'm using a wooden spoon, kind of a larger wooden spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the batter's kind of sticky, so it's pretty nice. It's not really real runny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to kind of just take a spoonful of it, find the muffin tin or the muffin paper.
And remember which ones you filled.
Right. Try to remember. Set it up in your head.
But it doesn't hurt to get your hands in it. I mean, if you're in doubt as to whether you fill one, take your hands and look.
I tell you, y'all, with making this batter, you might miss on purpose a lot more often just so you can lick your fingers.
Yeah.
It is good stuff here. So that's about it for these muffins. They're ready to be popped in the oven. And the pumpkin pie is in the refrigerator, refrigerating.
That's amazing.
That is such a great recipe. When I first read that, after it got posted to the list, I was like, that's my kind of pumpkin pie right there.
Oh, this is someone sent this to the list.
Yeah, was every all the recipes that we're doing today.
Yeah.
Except for the roast was mine, have been posted to the cooking list. We have great recipes, and I want to give a shout-out to some of the folks on the list, like Charles in Phoenix, and to Lee Stone up in New York, and his sister, Jean. She's way up in Maine. But, you know, some of these folks, and Armando, they just go out of their way to post some good recipes. And in fact, Armando, he's on the blind handyman list as well.
Yep, he is.
He posts some tasty, tasty recipes that are diabetic friendly. He turned us onto a website called the Diabetic Gourmet. So anybody out there listening to the show that's diabetic, check that website out, www.diabeticgourmet. They have got fabulous recipes that are diabetic friendly.
I think we had Armando on the show. I think
yeah, I think so. I think y'all did. Yeah, he's up in Canada. So that's really, really good. And then we've got some folks down in New Zealand and down in Australia that post quite a bit. And we had a little problem with our server, so some people with these new viruses that we're getting out there, some of the internet people were increasing their security protection.
Yeah.
And it was kind of causing a problem with some of the messages getting through for some reason. But I'm happy to say we've got Andrew back on the list. I want to say hi to Maggie and Joe down in New Zealand, and I hope I'll be seeing y'all in 2005 when the Texas Blind Sailors invade the Kiwi country. We'll be looking to take home gold if that happens.
I did, the president of the Texas Blind Sailors.
Jim.
We did him for a blind like me.
All right.
Which I need to put together and get on.
He is working really hard to get us some money put together. They went to Italy last year, and they ended up taking second place in one of the classes.
Yeah.
But anybody looking to get more information on the blind sailing and see if it's even available in your area, I know Florida has a team. I know that Boston has a team.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be some teams popping up, but go to TexasBlindSailor.com and just read about it. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. We were out on the ocean yesterday, in fact.
This
beautiful weather, spent a few days, a little bit of time out there just sailing, and, you know, I'm the helmsman. They tell me, all right, you know, upwind, downwind, and I'll turn the tiller and get the boat going that direction, and away we go.
So that job has fallen to you?
Yes.
As the helmsman?
Yeah. The way the team sets up and the way it works is everybody has, the helmsman has a sighted guide, if you will.
You have to, yeah.
Keeps us on course, keeps us in the direction, lets us know where the marks are. And then also for the team is a blind sail trimmer. And that person, you know, moves the sails if we're tacking one way or the other, or, you know, keeps them in the wind so that, you know, tightens down the jib or whatever they need to do to keep the wind and the speed of the boat up. So they're constantly pulling lines and trimming the sails to keep us going. But they also have a coach as well, or somebody to help tell them what needs to be done, and then they do it. It's a lot of fun.
There is a lot to know about sailing. I mean, it's not just going out there putting up a sail and you know, hoping you go somewhere. There's
a lot of terminology.
Whoa.
And I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my fourth time out this last time, and I'm just now getting to when we tack, you know, making sure you duck so the sail doesn't whack you in the head coming across. And but, yeah, you don't. As long as you get out and you get back and you're not wet, I think sailing is all right.
Yeah, but this weekend you were in a motor launch this week. Were you sailing this weekend?
On Saturday we were out on a powerboat, and then Sunday we went out and we were actually sailing.
A little sailing
on like a 25-foot racing boat. It was really nice, really fun, and you could. So it's you know, sailing. In fact, when they train people to sail, a lot of times they blindfold them, so that you can let your senses tune in and get a feel for the boat. You can feel when the wind hits the sail just right, when it picks it up, because the speed picks up, the list of the boat heels over a little bit as the wind fills the sail, and you can really feel a lot of what's going on in here, too. You know, with the water rushing by the tiller or just different things. It's fabulous.
And they blindfold people when they're teaching them to sail.
Yeah, helps tune their senses in a little bit. You can feel the wind a little bit better. You know, different boats, you need to keep, when you're sailing into the wind, you want to, you know, of course, you sail at an angle to the wind, and different boats sail better at different angles.
Yeah.
Like one boat we were practicing on, it sails better at a 45-degree angle. The boat we were on this last weekend sails better at about a 30-degree angle. And you've got to keep that in your head when you're tacking, because you're tacking, you're just moving the wind from, you know, the right side of the boat to the left side of the boat, so that you can change your course to still zigzag, you know, along a straight line, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So as you steer, you've got to keep in your mind that, hey, I only need to move about 60 degrees, you know, from 30 degrees one to 30 degrees the other side of the wind, versus like in a boat that steers at 45 degrees, you're actually changing course almost mm-hmm. 90 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you know, from 45 degrees on the right side of the wind to 45 degrees to the left of the wind.
Now, when you steer... We don't want to get off on sailing too much, but just answer this one question for me. When you steer the boat, what are you turning? Are you moving the sail?
The tiller. You've actually got a tiller and a rudder.
Under
as you steer with that,
under
that's
the boat.
What actually turns the boat Mm-hmm. And then you also have to move your sails to correspond with the wind direction.
But this artillery is under the boat?
Yes, I mean, it's behind the boat. It's behind and underneath the boat.
The same thing that you would have it was steering anything else.
An engine on a boat that sits down below, kind of out the back and below the boat.
Sure.
And as it turns a certain direction, it pushes, you know, propels the water and makes the boat go in a different direction. And this basically works the same way. It just simply makes the water flow a different way around the tiller, you know, around the rudder, and that actually causes the boat to turn one way or the other.
Well, you know what I'd like to do? We may do this next. Because I'm old and I get cold quick, so I don't want to do it in the winter. But what I think we might do next year is get all the blind sailors and all the crew and go out an afternoon and take a tape recorder and just record a blind like me show on as we're sailing.
That would be
as everybody awesome. Does what they're doing, because there's you know, blind, if you've never been able to see, there are a lot of things you don't know what they look like because you never saw them. You had the advantage of being able to see it one time.
Right.
But if you're a total, you don't, you know, like Luann was talking about a deer. I've never seen a deer. I don't know what a deer looks like. I mean,
wow.
I know it's a four-footed animal and has antlers and it's hairy.
Right.
But she was telling me the difference between an elk and a deer. Well, that meant nothing to me because I've never seen either one.
Exactly. Right.
So we may next. Let's plan on doing that next.
That
year.
would be a hoot. And I know these guys down here would love to have. Heck, if you come down, be prepared to do some work.
And we'll
have you'll be sailing.
Well, I'm the.
They'll put
I'm
the tiller in your hand and away we go.
Okay. All right.
It is a hoot.
And we'll use bottled beer so they can't hear us opening them.
Yeah, now that's another nice thing of sailing is, you know, having a little glass of wine while you're out there or a beer. And the gentleman's boat we were on is from Scotland. So he turned me on to this beer. Boddington's is the name of it.
Really?
And this beer, actually, it's an ale, a pale ale. It's got a real smooth taste. But when you pop the top and open it, it actually has a widget inside it that has gas in it. And when you pop the top, it carbonates the beer.
That's amazing.
It is really.
And what's it called?
I was like, wow, check that out. Because I noticed the cans were a little taller, you know, a little, not so much larger, but just taller. And they were explaining to me, and sure enough, when you cracked one open, you could hear it.
What is it called again?
Boddington's.
Boddington
beer. Boddington's. I always think of like Kensington, but it's Boddington.
We'll just
the name
have
of the
to
beer.
See.
Yeah, it's an English chat. It's very, very good. I was like, all right. Because, you know, we'd had a heck of a nice Saturday night out partying, and it was the hair of the dog, but it was a smooth hair.
Well, we want to apologize to all of you who don't imbibe. We don't want to try to get you to. We just, we do, and we enjoy talking about it for some
reason. Yeah, and I tell you, this pale ale, I mean, there's sometimes when a nice beer or a nice red wine or a wine really, really does. And it just goes nice with the meal. And, of course, you can get everything in alcoholic as well as non-alcoholic.
Eventually.
Sometimes it really just tantalizes the old taste buds to bring it up.
We are getting close to 48, almost 49 minutes into the show. You want to go over everything we've done? Why don't we do that real quick, our review here.
Let me get this whole thing.
Are we got muffins in the oven ready?
Muffins are in the oven. They're,
okay.
They've got a few more minutes to go here.
What temperature?
350 degrees.
350. All right.
And they should go at about 35 minutes. And again, depending on your oven, some ovens cook a little faster, some cook a little slower. So just check the oven. The main thing, the way you can really test these muffins to see if they're done or not, is to stick a toothpick in it and pull it out. And if you run your finger up the toothpick, if you feel anything on it still kind of moist like battery,
then they're not done.
They're not ready yet. But when you pull that toothpick out and they're nice and clean, then, yeah, they're ready to go.
Well, you explained to Candace and Skylar tonight now that the reason dinner was late is because I couldn't do it at 12:30. I made you an hour late.
Okay. I'll see how that goes over.
All right. Go ahead. Sid, let's see what we did today.
Yeah, today we did a meal in the crock pot, which was very simple. It was a 2.5-pound roast with new potatoes and baby carrots and mushrooms. Along with in the crock pot, the first thing we did was layer it with the new potatoes and the carrots over that. And then we laid the roast in. And then I came back and added my broth, which was just a can of beef broth from Campbell's. Also a can of cream of mushroom soup. And in a package or pocket or packet, however you want to call it, of the Lipton's onion soup. Put that all in the crock pot. I added about a can, a little over a can of water, also just to bring the level up to about two-thirds of the way full. Put the lid on it, put it on high, the crock pot on high, and just walked away. And about 6:30 or 7 o'clock this evening, it'll be ready to eat. The beef will come out tender, tender, tender. And just simply delicious. The potatoes, the carrots will all be cooked. Everything will be wonderful, ready to go. To go with dinner tonight, we're doing pumpkin muffins because it is pumpkin time.
It is.
And we also, the pumpkin muffins were 3 cups of sugar, 3.5 cups of flour. Also, there was some nutmeg in it, a teaspoon of nutmeg, a teaspoon of cinnamon, about 1.5 teaspoons of sugar, about 1.5 to 2 teaspoons of baking soda, not powder, baking soda.
Baking soda.
That was the dry ingredient.
All right.
And then in the wet ingredients were 4 eggs, a can of pumpkin, or 2 cups. It was a 16-ounce can of pumpkin. I'm going blank here of whatever was in it. 2/3 of a cup of water. Basically, all the wet ingredients, you mix those up separately and then add them to the dry ingredients. Blend all those together, mix them up, and then just put them in your muffin tin. If it's a grease muffin tin, put it in there. If you're using the muffin papers, put it in the muffin papers. You want to bake that in a 350-degree oven for about 35 minutes. And again, use the toothpick test to check and see if they are done or not. You know, stick the toothpick in, pull it out. If the toothpick is clean, then they're done.
So they make these muffin papers that you're talking about. I've never seen... Well, they make
Have you ever had like a cupcake that was in like a just a had a paper around it, like a paper cup around it?
Yeah, but I didn't know you could buy
them. Yeah,
those.
You can buy them. They come in, of course, different colors, and they come in aluminum and metal, you know, aluminum as well. But they're pretty handy. They're nice because you can fill those, and then they keep your pan clean, and the muffins come out of the pan a little bit easier that way. Sometimes they'll kind of stick in the bottom if you're not careful.
Did you put any oil of any kind in this pan before you put the muffin batter in?
No, because I was using the muffin papers, I did not.
Oh, you didn't.
But if you weren't using the muffin papers, if you're just using the muffin pan, yeah, you'd want to spray it down with some vegetable oil.
Okay,
take a stick of butter and just run around the sides of the muffin and the bottom.
So you were using muffin papers instead of muffin.
Yeah, I was using muffin papers.
Now you set these on a cookie sheet.
You set them in the muffin pan. You know how the muffin pan has the 12 separate muffins? Yeah. These papers just kind of they're kind of just like a liner.
What would be the advantage? The advantage would be that they would peel off easy, that your muffins wouldn't stick.
Right, your muffins won't stick to the pan. It's easier to clean the pan up, but the main thing is the muffins won't stick to the pan. You don't have to sit there and dig them all out.
And then
as soon as they're done, you just take them and flip them out, and they just come right out. But the paper stays around the muffin until you're ready to eat it.
Well, you say that they come in different colors now. Would that be for like a child's birthday party or something?
Yeah, for a birthday party. Sometimes they'll make cupcakes, you know, and different colors, or they have different designs on them as well that kind of go with the different themes of parties and things just to help stay with that. Some are white, some are pastel colors, some are, like I said, kind of aluminum material, a metal material.
Yeah.
Kind of metallic. So they're just, pretty cool little thing, unless you don't have them and you need them. You make that special trip to the store for them.
Well, I didn't realize that. I mean, I wasn't aware of that. I thought you just bake muffins in the muffin, you know.
And a lot of times you can, depending on what you make. You know, with these, I think it was just easier because we're going to be making so many of them. The yield on this, I think, is going to be about 24 muffins because I filled up the first pan and I've still got plenty of batter left over.
Yeah, so you're just going to do a second batch.
Yeah, second batch, which is good. Yeah. We're definitely bread eaters around here. We love that stuff.
Well,
the last thing we did was the no-bake pumpkin cream pie. And that was an 8-ounce package of cream cheese and about a tablespoon of vanilla. Also, it had a half a stick of butter or 4 tablespoons of butter. It had 1.5 cups of confectioner's sugar, which is kind of like a finer powdered sugar, if you will. That's sold in a box near the brown sugar and other cooking supplies. And also 2 tablespoons of apple pie spice. Put that in a bowl, mix it all up, and then add, after it's blended together, add 1 can of pumpkin. and mix it up, pour that into a graham cracker pie crust, and put in the refrigerator and refrigerate.
And that's
six,
that.
6 hours later, you've got a wonderful pumpkin pie. And that's it.
That's amazing. A bakeless, there we go, bakeless pumpkin pie.
Bakeless pumpkin pie. I'll have to send you that recipe, or you can log on there to the website.
Well, how about making one while you're up here for Blind Weekend?
I could do that.
Are you bringing shrimp this time if you come? Are they out of season?
No, shrimp are always in season down here. In fact, I was thinking on doing that, bringing some shrimp up. Of course, it sounds like those boys coming down from Dallas. I've got a tamale-eating title to hold.
Yeah, you do. John Bennett's coming. You've never met these boys, but John Bennett, he'll not beat you, but he'll keep up with you, I believe.
All right.
It'll be interesting
to
see.
That sounds great.
Let's see. This will run on the 24th, and then we had decided to do one Friday before Thanksgiving, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that? And you're going to cook? What are you thinking
on
of
that,
doing?
On that show, we're going to do turkey. Basically, it'll get everybody out, and we're going to bake a turkey and also smoke a turkey.
Smoke a turkey and bake a turkey. You're not going to fry one.
If I had my druthers, I'd be lining up for the smoked turkey every day, but I know a lot of people probably don't have a smoker.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do a smoked turkey and a baked turkey, and then hopefully I'm going to get on the old cooking in the dark list and ask people to start sending me some of their favorite sides and stuffing. So I want to do a stuffing and maybe some mashed potatoes or any other easy sides that'll go with that.
You're not going to make dressing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stuffing or dressing.
Yeah.
Kind of the same stuff. We've got a couple members have written in that somebody, so-and-so brother-in-law makes this great stuffing, but, of course, he makes it like a lot of people do. You don't really measure. You just throw some of that in, and so we're trying to get him to give us some actual measurements so that we can let everybody else know how he makes it.
Let me see if I can get Luann to, because Luann can make the best dressing I've ever eaten. She is.
All right.
That's one of her specialties. Let me see if she knows what she does,
Okay.
All right,
yeah, she does. We'll be happy to do it down here.
That's Blind Mice Mart. What's the address? Give it real quick.
Oh, blindmicemart.com.
All
the sales, all the proceeds from purchases there go to fund scholarship money for the visually impaired.
Come shop,
check us out. And Cooking in the Dark is our email list. Come and join us. I mean, like I said, we've got people from across the United States, across countries. We're international now. So come and be a part of that. That's cookinginthedark-subscribe@topica.com. Topica is TOPICA.
And that'll do it, won't it?
And that's it.
Good deal, Phil, sir.
You have a great day and enjoy this beautiful weather.
We can order
a few more days like this.
I'm fixing to go have me some Campbell soup for lunch, and I'll talk to you in a day or two, sir.
All right, my friend.
Thanks
again.
Have a
great one.
Dale
Campbell is Cooking in the Dark.